Think Film. Black Watch Releasing presents a Stephen Hedges production, a Bruce Sweeney film, Last Wedding, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada, Benjamin Ratner, Frida Batrani, Tom Schulte, Nancy Sivek, Vincent Gale, and Molly Parker, Maria Delver, Babs Chula, Kathleen Dubourg, Jay Brazo, David Pelletier, Director of Photography, Tony Devenier, Production Designer, Don McDonald, Original Music, Ross Weber, Film Editor, Executive Producer, G.D. Sweeney, produced by Stephen Hedges, written and directed by Bruce Sweeney. In a bridal shop, an attractive young woman holds a wedding dress up to herself and assesses it in a three-way mirror.
Ma? Ma?
She turns slightly to examine the lines of the dress, then hangs it up with the other contenders, while another young woman is assisted by a sales clerk nearby.
Ma, come here.
Ma emerges from the corner of the shop holding up a pearl gray silk dress and strikes a pose.
Is that beautiful?
For you, right?
Okay, what do you got?
She shows her the low-cut sleeveless gown.
Well, you know, your little arms are going to stick out. No.
Really?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, well.
Oh, my God.
This gown has cap sleeves and square neckline.
It's so beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
I want to look at you.
This is the one.
The stitching.
This is the one.
The stitches.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, my God, no. It's too much money. Take it off. No.
You guys forked out huge for Karen's wedding.
That was different.
Different how?
Your father and I were talking.
Great, I see. So she gets university money, she gets a huge wedding,
you had access
and I get
to that
nothing.
University
the sales clerk notices them.
Take advantage of it.
Can I use it now?
Did you go to university?
Can
did
I
you?
Use
did
it?
You?
I'm just going to try it.
No.
Let go.
No.
Let go. Have you made a decision?
We're going to pass.
The sales clerk takes the dress away from them.
Honey, come on. We'll go to Elaine's and we'll see what they have at Elaine's, okay? Right? Come on.
Later, a parked Volkswagen Beetle with black and white imitation calfskin seat covers is passed by a Land Rover SUV. The man driving parks across the street. He visits the wedding dress shopper.
Hi, honey. Awful. I need you to help me.
Oh, of course,
okay?
I'll help you.
Good, because there's a lot to do.
Yeah? What's to do?
Well, we have to decide on a color theme.
All right, color theme.
We need to make an appointment with the rabbi. We still don't have a photographer. Mm-hmm. I still don't have a dress. Mm-hmm. And Karen doesn't have a dress yet.
Right.
What are you doing?
I've got to try to catch that 5:30.
What?
Ferry.
Why?
Ferry, I'm going to the cabin with Peter and Shay. I told you that.
She turns away, annoyed.
Okay, I'll see you Monday night, Zippy.
He kisses her neck.
Jason.
He heads out, carrying his bag.
You mean Sunday?
Ferries are at a zoo on Sunday. I'll be back Monday.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not.
We have dinner with my mom on Sunday.
Well, you gotta reschedule that dinner.
Noah, you've only met her once. You've never even met Karen and the kids. Reschedule this fishing trip.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling the guys Sunday night.
We'll tell them Saturday and you come back Sunday.
See you Monday.
He leaves.
Sunday, Noah! I said Sunday!
She throws a bottle of water at the door and pouts. Noah pokes his head around the door. Zippy turns to him.
Yeah, okay, I'll see you Sunday.
She walks along the hall and opens the door, pulling Noah back inside. She backs him against the wall and drops his bag on the floor.
I don't want to fight with you, okay? It is important that you spend some time with my family before the wedding, you know? It's in a month. It's in a month.
She runs her hands over him and glances along the hall.
Oh, do you have to leave the second?
Later, at a grocery store.
Okay, I think I'm gonna get those three T-bones
so
right
much
there.
Easier.
Oh, and some of these New Yorkies.
Coming here. You know, Stephanie hated it when we came here. But Sephora.
Oh, some tenderloin, too. That looks
she just wants me to be happy. You know, like she's on my side.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, she's always on my side.
Yeah, well. Sounds like things are going well.
Things are going very well, Peter.
Good, good. Oh, hey, get some frozen herring, would you?
Well, I thought we were mooching.
Yeah, but we might want to run a cup look.
All right. Happy.
Good.
I feel good.
Great.
You know, she likes horses very much.
You gonna tell me everything about this woman? I mean, that's all you've been talking about the whole way up here.
I can't tell my good friend about someone who's
yes,
very
of course you can, but we're here to catch some fish.
She likes you.
I met her once.
I know, she thought you were funny.
Oh, well, I was drunk.
Well, that's another thing. Sephora doesn't judge. Stephanie thought you were an alcoholic.
Stephanie thought I was an alcoholic?
Yeah, fuck Stephanie.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, let's go, let's go.
There you go, sir. You can pay the
thank you.
Noah follows Peter and Shane to the checkout.
Listen, I didn't want to say this here.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with the boat, is there?
Sephora and I are getting married.
Hey, congratulations.
Shane shakes Noah's hand.
Yeah.
Peter gives him a hug.
Congratulations. That's...
Later, herring are floating in the cooler.
Looks like Jonestown in here. You unplug the air right away?
Yeah, and I plugged in the beer cooler.
It's good, smart. You killed the bait.
Yeah, well, now we got cold beer.
All right.
The three guys are in Noah's boat off one of the Gulf Islands.
Can you turn that off?
Noah holds up a hand.
What? Come on.
Wait a second. We've got to hear the weather report.
Why?
Weather turns. We got to get out of here. No, I got a marriage to think about.
Is Sam going to lick me today or what?
You know, I don't know about you guys. I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. I'd like to have some kids.
Oh, well, then you should get married. You should have kids.
Why don't you want me to be happy, Peter?
I want you to be happy, Noah. I just think you should think about this.
Well, I've made a decision.
Yeah, well, you're not buying a toolbox.
Good. You don't want to talk, right?
About what? I'm not the one who's getting married to someone I just met. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me for just a second, okay? You are going to do what you want to do, and I'm going to support you just like I always do. I'm just telling you should think this through. That's all. Anyway, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, you're not getting married right away.
In a shed, Noah makes a phone call.
Hi. Yeah, no, I'm on the radio phone. Yeah, on the island. How are you? I know, me too. And I try it one more night. Yeah, I told them. They're very they're very excited for us.
Peter and Shane drink wine in a hot tub.
You know, Zipporah's got a nice ass, and I'm sure he loves plugging it, but you just... Don't pull the trigger on the wedding date. You just keep it abstract, completely in the future. Where is he, anyway?
Peter smokes a cigar.
He's up there somewhere.
Noah sits on the cottage deck.
Hey, burger! Come on, 2 minutes in the dick soup.
Noah grins.
There he is.
Noah walks down to the hot tub.
You ready?
No, that's too hot. It's too hot.
Huh?
Too hot.
What are you talking about?
It's too hot. You gotta put the
No hose in the tub.
Put the
hose in the tub.
Come on. Don't be a baby.
Noah shines his flashlight in the water.
See, that looks murkier than it did yesterday.
You didn't even get in here yesterday.
Well, I saw the water. And
hey,
it looked clean.
A little bit of blood and semen. Come on. In you get.
Noah takes off his deck shoes and jacket.
Huh? Hey, what's with the shorts anyway? Come on.
Oh, stop. I'm not getting in naked with you guys.
Come on, Burger. Let's see the hardware.
The tub overflows as Noah sits down.
Come on.
I think he just came.
This is nice. Peter, you're gonna be my best man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
Okay, Shane, you're gonna be in the wedding party, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Gazing across the tub at Noah, Peter grins behind his cigar. Later, a young woman taps her pen against the side of her laptop computer.
I'm gonna fail.
Sitting on the couch, Shane looks up from his book.
I'm gonna fail. You don't seem very concerned.
Shane walks over to her.
No more studying for you tonight.
Yeah, Shane.
I can't allow it.
I have to.
Look. You couldn't be more prepared, all right? You're extremely prepared.
He kisses her cheek. She drops her pen and reaches up to hold him. He cradles her in his arms. In the morning, Shane puts a frying pan on the stove.
Shane?
Yeah?
How was your thesis presentation?
It was good.
What questions did they ask you?
Most of the questions were about cubistic modes of architecture, the history of that style, the relevancy of it, you know?
It's just, my thesis is digital, it's abstract, so I'm mostly trying to concentrate on just actual hands-on questions, you know?
Well, it doesn't matter what the media is, questions about historical and political significance need to be asked.
He cracks eggs.
Yeah, but I'm not taking a political stance. I'm just using my computer as a theoretical process tool.
But you still have to make the transition from an abstract model in a virtual scenario to a physical construction that exists in the real world. And that is where you could get busted.
You don't like my work.
I didn't say that.
Shane, I don't care about the same things you care about, you know? I don't care about German social housing or Victor Catlin.
Vladimir Catlin.
My work exists as a way to help develop a complexity of ideas within an evolutionary process.
Right, but I still don't see how you're off the hook for political or historical questions.
I have been working on this project for 2 years, and you dismiss it like that.
Why did you ask me if you didn't want to hear the answer?
She gets up and walks out of the room. Shane wipes his hands on a dish towel.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
Too bad.
Shane climbs up into their sleeping loft where she lies on the bed.
Sarah, come on.
Leave me alone.
Look, aesthetics or aesthetics, it doesn't matter what I think.
It matters to me.
Look, I like your work. You know I'm opinionated.
I know.
Yeah. My aesthetics are my own, but it doesn't take away from the fact that your work is thorough. It's valid. You will graduate, right? I'm sorry. You know, I'm a structuralist and a funk.
Yes, I know.
Sarah smiles up at him. He leans down and kisses her. Later.
They're here.
Finally.
A young woman with a baby on her hip goes to answer the door.
Hi.
Hi.
Karen, this is Noah.
Noah.
Hi.
Come on in.
This is Nathan.
Hi.
She's been waiting.
Okay.
Hi, Mom. Mm-hmm. This
Hello.
Is Noah. Remember Noah?
Mm-hmm.
Terribly. Yes. Sorry we're late.
We met at the fireworks.
Look, mm-hmm. He brought a really nice bottle of wine.
Lovely. Wonderful. Thank you. Come on, we're eating. Come on.
Hi.
At dinner, Karen sits on one side of the table, facing Noah and Zipporah, while the girl's mother sits at the head of the table.
Nathan is a...
Baby Nathan twirls in his jolly jumper nearby. Karen takes a sip of wine and gets up to check on Nathan.
Oh, God. What do you do, Noah?
I manage a waterproofing and restoration company.
Noah invented this rubber mat thing.
Well, I didn't invent it, but I sell it. I sell a great deal of it. It's a membrane system. Water no more.
He's doing so well, Mom.
I'd be more than glad to check out your patio if you'd like that.
Oh. May I make a suggestion? Push the date.
What?
Push the date.
What are you talking about?
You know, Noah,
will you say this now?
And I'm sure you're a very nice person. I mean, you haven't known each other very long. Push the date.
We're not pushing any date. We're getting married,
honey,
okay?
Honey, you haven't even known each other for 6 months.
So what? How long did you know Dad before you married him?
Do you see him here? Do you?
Zipporah gets up from the table, picks up her purse, and walks out of the room. Noah glances across at Karen, then at her mother. Getting up, he walks out after Zipporah.
Water no more.
On the patio...
I'm sorry about tonight.
Hey, come on, don't be. Your sister's real nice.
Yeah, Karen's sweet.
Hey. Hey, Zippy. Well, we're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this together. Okay.
Noah pulls her to him and kisses her. She takes his head in her hands and kisses him passionately. As Sarah steps out of a building at the university, she takes her cell phone out of her purse.
Hey. I know, I'm blown away. I know, I'm gonna be home in a second. I couldn't wait to tell you. I know, I'm floating, I'm fucking floating. Thanks, babe.
At Peter's.
Hey, Lester! We're ready in here.
Just a sec.
In the bedroom, Peter's wife ties her hair back and walks into the living room.
Smells good. Even about bottled water.
Actually, no, I just rinsed it out. I did. It's all tap water from Calgary anyway.
She answers the door.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Zipporah.
I'm Leslie.
Nice to see you again.
Hi.
You again. Hey, buddy. Come on in.
Noah follows Zipporah into the living room.
Water?
Please.
You two must be excited.
Yes, very.
Yeah, a little terrified, I guess.
No. We feel good.
Good.
This is a really nice place you have.
Thanks.
How long have you lived here?
2 years?
Yep.
How long have you two been together?
4 years.
6 years.
Peter?
I meant 4 years, 6 months.
You get that email I sent you?
Yeah.
What email is that?
Nothing.
Well, at least you guys communicate, I'll give you that. Profane and bizarre, but what's wrong with getting letters? I mean, who gets letters these days?
You do.
I know.
Because you're a dinosaur.
No, I'm a librarian. I like books, I like letters, I like surfaces, I like textures,
I'm sure
I like...
You do,
will
sweetie,
you let me finish? Our sense of touch is being eradicated.
It's hardly a bulletin, Les.
I know, but it's happening. People are choosing to watch. They're not doing. The internet is overrated. I mean, what can you find on the internet that you can't find at the library?
Porn.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, well, you asked me.
Anyway, you're witlessly reinforcing my point. People are choosing to watch.
You guys feel free to jump in here anytime you want.
Particularly good water.
And this cheese is, it's very sexy.
She feeds Noah.
Yeah, goat cheese.
Yeah, it melts in your mouth.
When Zipporah kisses Noah, Peter glances over at Leslie.
You know, that couch pulls out.
So?
Later.
You'd like to be married?
Yes, sir.
Noah and Zipporah meet with a rabbi.
How long have you two known each other?
6 months. 6 months.
We're ready.
Yes.
We take a wedding very seriously.
So do we, so sir. Do we. Rabbi, sir.
Do you have a date in mind?
August 6th.
The rabbi glances at a calendar.
Unfortunately, in our tradition, no one is permitted to marry on a Saturday. It must be Sunday.
What?
I already left a deposit at the place.
Leaning forward in his chair, the rabbi looks at Noah.
Have you been bar mitzvahed? Have you been to Hebrew school?
Noah shakes his head.
What do you do?
I'm a manager at a waterproofing and restoration firm, specializing in membrane technology. She's a singer.
I'll answer for myself. I'm a singer, mm-hmm. Country rock.
Do you plan to sing at the wedding?
She glances at Noah.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, it isn't possible because a woman cannot sing solo at a wedding.
Why?
It's a purity issue. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in God?
As Zipporah looks away, Noah just stares at the rabbi. Later, Zipporah tosses her purse on the couch and sits down. Noah joins her.
Maybe Ma's right. We should push the date.
Noah looks at her.
Are you having second thoughts about me now?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what is it then?
I think I'm stupid.
Tiffany, Jesus Christ, I won't. Just tell me, what is it?
I can't get married looking like a loser. Okay? All the dresses I've tried make me look stupid. We've gone up and down Hastings Street, you know, all the bridal shops, and went to Bello, Elaine's. Yeah. Mom wants me to wear this straight, ugly dress. I mean, it's ugly, Noah. Yeah. I can't find shoes. I need a veil. I mean, who gets married without a veil?
Did you find anything at all that you liked?
Yeah.
Okay, get the dress you like.
Really?
Yeah, just get the dress you like.
But it's...
He pats her knee. She kisses him and throws her arms around him. Before the wedding, Zipporah gets into a bustier.
Take care.
Forget it. I can't. Just... Okay, go. Give me my regular bra. Regular bra.
When she takes it off, Ma snaps a photo of her topless.
You're beautiful.
Ma,
you're
beautiful. A freak.
You are
you're
so beautiful like that. You have no idea.
Okay, listen.
All right, what?
I want to do the something old, something
oh,
new,
something, old,
something
borrowed, something blue.
Blue.
Okay. Well, yes. You can borrow
you
my estrogen patch. If
you haven't
I'll
thought
kill
about
somebody.
This.
Yes, we
yes,
have.
We have.
Something old. Her bra. Your bra's old.
Your bra's old.
Okay, the dress is always new.
The dress is new.
Karen.
I'm serious.
Something borrowed. Honey, take the clippy out of your hair and put it in right here, okay? And something blue.
Karen hands over her hair clip.
I know.
Ma pulls up Zipporah's dress, and they notice the blue ribbon on her garter.
Look. Oh, beauty. Yeah, something blue. Oh, so
looking.
Am I, Ma?
Oh,
Karen,
Zip?
You think so?
You are my. So beautiful.
Take a photo, take
right.
a photo.
Oh, my girls, my girls. Oh, my God, I'm out of film.
No.
Kidding. Mother, I hate when you do that.
I'm getting married.
I'm getting married.
I'm getting married.
The men are in a dark wood-paneled room.
I'm sorry to hear that one. I think he needs to talk to you.
Why?
Well, he doesn't look so good. Just talk to him for a second.
Okay.
Ben, a portly older man wearing a yarmulke, walks over to where Noah sits.
Is this my little boy?
We're getting married. Can I give you a kiss?
Can I give you a kiss? Give me a kiss.
Dad, I don't want to give you a kiss. I want you to take off the armor.
There you go. Breaking your mother's heart.
Ben sits down beside Noah and takes off the yarmulke.
There's a hell of a lot of wood in this room. I wonder how they put it, put that wood on the wall or...
Dad. I'm doing the right thing, huh?
Oh, you're doing the right thing. Well, you met a beautiful woman. You love her. I mean, your mother and I, we've been married 35 years, and she's not even my type. But I would jump off a mountain for her. I'm more of a Sandra Dee type of guy, or a Tuesday Wells, or, you know, Gidget, or... But of the 35 years that I've been married to your mother, we had 7 or 8 excellent, well, very, very good years. And only 1 year... well, now's not the time to get into it. But...
Mark.
I don't want to talk about it.
Mark.
Your mother gave me chancroids. They call it sailor's disease. She said she got it off a toilet seat in Tel Aviv, but I didn't believe...
Time is it, Dad?
It is time to get married. Huh?
Peter and Shane come over.
All right. You ready?
Noah fortifies himself with a drink from his hip flask.
Let's do it.
Aaron Gilmore couldn't have said it better. Let's go.
In a garden.
Noah Berger and Zipporah Steinberg have expressed the desire for a lifelong companionship and a generous sharing of the comfort and help that husband and wife ought to have for one another. Through whatever circumstances, of sickness or health, joy or sorrow, prosperity or adversity, the lives that either of them may experience.
Zipporah holds back happy tears.
They are not entering into marriage thoughtlessly or irresponsibly.
Among but the guests, Sarah turns to Shane.
Understanding and appreciation what? Of the ends for which it's contracted. And of the material, intellectual,
Sarah
and
nudges him,
factors,
and Shane kisses her hand.
Do you know a burger? Take Zipporah Steinberg to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward in whatever circumstance or experience life may hold for you?
Noah gazes into Zipporah's eyes.
I do.
Do you, Zipporah Steinberg, take Noah Berger to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward in whatever circumstance or experience life may hold for you?
I do.
And by the powers vested in me from the province of British Columbia, I pronounce you man and wife.
Oh. Can I kiss?
You may kiss.
They embrace.
Oh.
Noah smashes a wine glass under his heel. Later.
What are you eating?
Wedding cake.
Peter, they haven't cut the cake yet.
No, this is from the last wedding we were at. It's still in my pocket.
In the stone colonnade at the country club, other guests squeeze by them.
You know, I didn't cry very much today. Usually I cry a lot.
Yeah, usually I drink too much and then I get sick.
Oh, did you put the gift on the table?
I didn't bring that gift, Leslie. I thought you were bringing
the
gift.
No, I told you to bring the gift because I had to go to the doctor.
Why did you go to the doctor?
Nothing.
Leslie, why did you go to the doctor?
Nothing.
What's wrong? Why did you go to the doctor?
I went to the electrolysis.
Oh, sweetheart. Sweetheart, it looks fine down there now.
No. My chin.
Oh, sorry.
The guests shower the newlyweds with rice as they make their way to the waiting limousine. By the open car door, Zipporah and Noah dispense kisses and hugs to their families and friends. Peter plants a kiss on Noah's lips. Zipporah's mother and sister both kiss Noah as he gets into the car beside his bride. The limo pulls away. A few days later, Noah and Zipporah have dinner in a Japanese restaurant with Shane and Sarah.
It's good?
Yeah, it's
chicken?
Good. It's good. I don't know what this orange thing is, though. Don't usually give us this.
I think it's yam.
Yam.
Yeah.
You just graduated.
Yeah.
How's the hunt?
It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's a competitive field.
She'll get something. It might not be what she wants, but she'll get something.
You said that awfully quickly.
No, it's just you said your interview went poorly.
Not as poorly as I thought. I got a second interview.
Shane is surprised.
That's great.
Zipporah, your hair looks really pretty. Who does it for you?
I do.
Yeah? Even like the color and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's really nice.
Thank you.
So at now the university. The whole dramatic structure of the piece is called into question at this point. What we get here is a complete reworking of the main theme, but with a much more direct style of prose. Okay, well, I got a couple of minutes here, so I want to mention Albanian Virgin for Friday, and papers are due a week Wednesday, and I want to make a note here. I've been noticing that there's been some coffee table reference books creeping into your papers. Okay, here's a tip for you. Big picture's bad, small text good, all right?
Mr. Black!
Yeah?
As Peter unlocks his office door, a pretty student runs toward him.
Hi.
I'm in your 202 class.
Yeah.
Laurel Johnson?
Yeah.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Well, I write, and I wanted to read something for you.
Oh, now probably isn't the best
time. It's short.
Is it?
When she nods, Peter glances up at a clock.
All right. In you go. Just have a seat there. Okay. So, what do you got for me?
Called One Stop Love Shop.
Okay.
Laurel flips through her notebook.
This ain't love. This is a one-stop love shop. Get down and get bound, because I'm going to move you. I'm going to screw you. This is your night of hell. This ain't no dream. You got 2 hours to make me scream. This ain't love, so I don't want no nudge in the morning with your finger in my hair and a smile and a coffee. I just want your cock to rock, and when the clock reads 3, I want your ass out of my one-stop love shop. This ain't love. I don't want to bear your kid or taste your jizz, so put a sock on your cock so we can lick, suck, fuck, rock, push. But this ain't love. And just like every other guy, you want a baby to hold, someone to take care of you, do you, soothe you, touch you. Well, I'm not your mother, brother, and I won't be your lover, because I can't commit to just one dick.
She looks up from the page.
Wow, that's...
Peter swallows.
Wow.
Laurel grins shyly. Zipporah throws away her gum as she gets out of her Beetle and checks her appearance in the side mirror. Carrying a CD in her hand, she wears a cowboy hat and a denim jacket over a black tank top and jeans. A few minutes later, she steps out of an elevator into the mezzanine level of a sunlit atrium. She walks up to the reception desk.
Hi. Zipporah Steinberg. I have an appointment with Sam. Jane, is Zipporah Steinberg to see you? It's Zipporah. Okay. She'll be right up.
Zipporah surveys the gold records on the walls.
Hi. You're here to see Sam?
Yes.
Zipporah.
Sorry.
You brought your CD?
Mm-hmm.
Zipporah. Is that Egyptian?
No.
Zipporah takes a chair in Jane's office, and Jane joins her.
Can I have the CD?
Oh, I'll give it to Sam.
Oh, actually, I'll give it a listen first, and then when Sam has a moment, I'll make sure he hears it.
My appointment is with Sam.
Oh, no, actually, your appointment is with me. You see,
no,
the way...
he knows my father.
Oh, could you excuse me a minute? Yeah. Well, no. The Trooper Master tapes have never been my responsibility.
Behind Jane's back, Zipporah peeks into the window to the next office.
Could you sit down, please?
Is that Sam's office?
Please, will you just sit down?
It is, isn't it?
She opens the window.
What are you doing? Zipporah, please, could you stop that? Please, just keep your voice down.
Sam!
Zipporah, could you please just sit down?
I want you to give this to Sam.
Okay,
right now. And I am not leaving until he hears it, okay?
Give it to me.
Okay.
Sit down. Relax.
Okay.
Stay there.
Jane carries the CD next door to Sam's office. Zipporah peers through the window and watches Jane approach his desk. Scowling at Zipporah, Jane slides the window closed. Zipporah sits back down. A few minutes later, Jane ushers Zipporah into Sam's office.
Hello.
Hello there. I knew your father?
Yes, Sam.
Sam?
From Montreal University.
Steinberg?
Yeah.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's good.
Oh, good. Give him my regards.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
Oh.
Jane hands Zipporah her CD.
What about my music?
That's the worst music I've ever heard.
Come on, let's go.
Zipporah shakes off Jane's hand. She glares at Sam.
Fuck yourself, bitch.
Jane follows her out. At a bar, Peter sucks the meat from a chicken wing.
What's the matter? Hey. What is it?
What's wrong? Noah, what is it?
Nothing.
Noah twirls his fork nervously as he stares into space.
She's driving me nuts.
Zipporah.
Zipporah's driving me fucking nuts, yeah.
What's she up to?
Nothing. Nothing. I come home every day, she's lying there, mouth open, watching TV.
Something tells me not PBS.
It's in the bathroom for hours at a time, Peter. Hours at a time.
You married her. You're living at her place now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Condo leaks, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm living in a fucking wet box.
We'll get the company to fix it up.
I don't want to fix it up. I want to move.
I like your anger tonight.
Later, Noah walks into the condo to find stale food and dirty dishes on the kitchen counter.
Zipporah? Jesus
Christ. He walks into the living room past the photograph of a horse hanging on the wall. Zipporah lies in bed, fast food wrappers beside her, the TV remote close at hand. Noah stops in the doorway.
Thought you were working today.
I called him sick.
She avoids looking at him.
Are you sick? Well, what'd you call in sick for?
Busy.
Busy? Busy doing what?
Cowboy hats hang on the bedroom wall over a carved horse head.
Huh? Busy doing what? You know, I made a list. And on this list, there are 12 areas of significant moisture decay in this condominium. We're giving notice at the end of the month. We're getting out of this fucking box.
I can't just move.
This should be chestnut. Why not?
Because I'm all set up, okay? I've got my music room, and it's soundproofed.
You got your music room?
He glances along the hall.
Sure would like to hear some of that music sometime. Sure would. Haven't heard a lick.
Noah glances into the hall again. then back at Zipporah. Her eyes stay on him as he backs out of the bedroom and walks through the living room. Zipporah races past him into her music room. She locks the French doors behind her.
Zipporah, open the door. That's great, thanks. Okay, now what are you, 10 years old now?
No.
She closes the blinds on one door.
Come on.
She lowers the blinds on the other door. Noah walks away. As the apartment door closes behind him, Zipporah opens the blinds on the music room door. She emerges from the room and peers around the corner at the front door. Later, Zipporah sits on the couch chewing gum and channel surfing. When she hears the key in the front door, she switches off the TV. Dashing across the living and dining area, she disappears down the hall to the bedroom. Noah tosses his jacket and keys on the couch. In the bedroom, Zipporah touches up her hair and lipstick as she pretends to read a magazine. She looks up to find Noah in the doorway. Zipporah pats the bed, inviting him to join her. Noah sits down on the edge of the bed. He takes her hand and kisses it. She kisses his cheek and lays her arm around his shoulders as she moves close to him. Zipporah drops her hand into Noah's lap. Zipporah strokes Noah's groin. Noah places an arm around her waist and lays his head on her shoulder. Soon after, Zipporah kneels before Noah, one hand clutching his buttocks, while she performs oral sex on him. At a restaurant,
I didn't think I was gonna get it. I really didn't. I thought, oh my God, I'm so relieved. Do you know I'm the first person in my class to get a job?
Shane nods.
So they want me to start next week. I mean, I think just basic drawings and things. You know the routine.
Yeah.
Oh, Shane, you should see the space. It's so amazing. It's like up on the 21st floor. It has this incredible view. Yeah, I'm finished.
Their waitress clears their plates.
I think I'm a little bit drunk.
She gazes across the table at Shane.
Let's go.
I just
want
to finish my drink.
Later, they enter their apartment. Sarah drops her purse on the counter. Shane puts his keys in a drawer. As he straightens up, Sarah's arms encircle him from behind and she nibbles his ear.
Hey, get some water, you want some?
Sure.
As Sarah enters the bathroom, Shane fills their glasses from a pitcher with slices of lemon floating in it. He picks up his glass and walks into the living area, pulling his shirt tails out of his waistband as he goes. He sets the glass down and removes his jacket. Draping the jacket over the back of the couch, he sits down in front of a cabinet, where he opens a drawer and removes a small wooden box, then glances across the apartment to the bathroom. As Shane removes a plastic bag from the box, Sarah emerges from the bathroom in her pajamas. She takes her glass of water from the counter and sips from it.
Don't you think it's time to go to bed?
I'm gonna burn.
As Shane rolls a joint, Sarah puts down her glass of water and takes his arm.
Sweetheart, you're dropping it all over the floor. Come on, let's go to bed.
I'm not tired.
Baby, come on.
I'm gonna burn this.
What, now?
Yeah.
I want you to come to bed with me.
She pulls him close.
I'll be up soon.
I'll be asleep soon.
Sarah picks up her glass and walks over to the ladder that leads up to their sleeping loft.
Hey.
She turns back to him.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
She climbs up to bed, leaving Shane to brood over his unlit joint. Peter sits at his desk writing. Putting his pen away, he picks up a paper and files it. He thinks for a moment and glances over his shoulder, then down at his filing cabinet. He removes a file folder, spreads it open on his desk, and flips through the papers inside. As he pulls one paper from the folder, the door opens.
What are you doing?
I just finished up some marking.
Can you help me?
Help you?
In the kitchen.
Yeah, I'll just be a sec.
Leslie backs out of the room with a smile. Soon after.
Good God, Les.
I'm pickling.
You entered a millennium and you're pickling.
Yeah, grab these tongs, okay?
I'm looking ready for a forceps delivery.
Just take the bottles out of the hot water and put them on the towel.
Actually, Les, I really kind of got to scoot.
Scoot? Where?
Well, I got to get to the university and do some photocopying.
It's almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. I got to get there before the building closes.
Oh, well, if you wait 20 minutes, I'll drive you.
Actually, I already called a cab. I got to go, sweetheart. I'll see you soon, okay?
Bye.
Later, Peter knocks on a door.
Mr. Watt.
Hi.
I am so sorry that I didn't hand in that paper. My mom had this really bad,
it's okay.
Like,
I'm gonna see Laurel.
Sore throat. Laurel!
Peter steps into the house. On the second floor, Laurel comes to the top of the stairs in jeans and a cropped t-shirt.
Oh. Hi. Come on up.
Peter walks across a hallway cluttered with a bicycle and skis. They enter Laurel's room, where the dark walls are decorated with colorful fabrics.
Sarah McLaughlin, eh?
He sits down.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Laurel clears some things off the bed. Then she sits on it, facing Peter.
So what's up?
I had to see you. I had to come and talk to you.
Yeah?
Yeah. When you read me your work the other day, it was...
What?
Very absorbing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Laurel gets off the bed.
The thing is, Laurel, I'm actually with somebody, you know, and I've been with this person for a long time, and I love her. I do. I love her, but I
can't... Do you like Chiclet?
Chiclet?
Yeah. DJ Chiclet.
She walks over to stand in front of him. She removes his cap and drops it on the floor. As she runs her fingers through his hair, Peter reaches out and strokes her bare midriff, then plants his lips on it. He stands up and they kiss. Pulling him with her, Laurel flops back on the bed and removes her glasses.
You must have been asleep.
No.
They kiss hungrily, Peter lying between her thighs. He grinds his pelvis into hers.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm dry humping. I'm dry humping.
It's okay.
I gotta go.
Wait.
He picks up his briefcase.
Your hat.
Thanks. I'll see you at school, okay?
Yeah, I'll see you at school.
Peter lets himself out. At her condo, Zipporah lies on the couch with the remote control in hand. She glances at the telephone at her elbow.
You get that? Zipporah, will you get the phone, please?
She just stares at the TV. Noah walks into the living room.
Why didn't you get that?
She turns and looks at him. Turning back to the TV, she switches channels. Noah glances around and notices a China horse on a bookcase. As he walks out of the room, Zipporah glances after him, then turns back to the TV.
Do you know she almost died?
Noah returns with a hammer in his hand and smashes the horse. Zipporah gets to her feet and advances towards him. She smacks him with the remote.
Don't ever fuck with my horses.
Clutching his cheek, Noah turns to her. Eyes blazing, she drops the remote to the floor. Later, Noah lies in bed, alone. Rolling over, he props himself up on one elbow. He looks up as Zipporah walks in and sits on the edge of the bed.
Feel better?
Yeah, it's okay. I think we should have a little talk.
I'm sorry, I hit you in the head.
Hey, I'm sorry about the horse.
It's okay. Let's just forget about it, okay?
Okay. Hey, Zippy. I just really think we should talk.
Bella?
You know, conflict, communication, resolution.
Why do you have to make it so complicated?
It's not. It's not complicated. These are the fundamentals of a good marriage. Just a little talk. What do you say?
Okay. Talk.
Well, I'd like to hear what you have to say first.
Well, I don't have anything to say.
So you think everything is fine with us?
Yeah.
She's married a half-wit.
I'm going to my mother's.
Yeah, see ya.
Later, Noah rummages through his toolbox and finds a putty knife. He slips it between the doors to the music room, then glances over his shoulder. Forcing the lock, he opens the door. He enters the room, which is plastered with photos of Zipporah in a cowboy hat and lingerie.
Hello.
Noah leans into a microphone. He tries out a keyboard, and the one above it. Picking up a CD, he glances at the cover. He leans over a mixing board and finds the power switch. There's a headset plugged into the board, and Noah picks it up and puts it on. Hands on his hips, he stands listening solemnly to Zipporah's music. Across town, Shane snaps a T-square against his drafting table. He sips from his wine glass as he stands before a set of IKEA shelves, where he pulls out a magazine and stares at it. As he puts the magazine away, the front door opens and Sarah walks in.
Hi.
She drops her purse on a butcher block and opens the fridge.
I thought you'd be home a long time ago.
Yeah, I had to work late.
Closing the fridge, she opens the freezer. She takes out a bottle of gin.
Thought we'd have dinner. You, could have called.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Sarah puts down the gin bottle.
Where were you?
At work. And then some of us went out for drinks after work.
And where'd you go?
The Bayside room.
Who with?
Ken and Josh, these designers that I've been working with. Shane, it's just work. You know, it's kind of nice to know that you like what you're doing.
Kind of nice. Wish I was doing something kind of nice.
Oh, fuck, don't shit on me because you don't like your job.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. What, I'm not allowed to like what I do?
It's not about that.
Because I went out for a couple of drinks?
No, it's about respect, having respect for each other. I don't know where you are.
Why are you so threatened?
Not threatened. I just wanted to have dinner with you.
Then you should have called me.
At the university.
Okay, that's time, people.
Students bring their test papers to Peter on their way out of the lecture theater.
Why does he always ask me? Go get him, baby.
Laurel playfully slaps her friend on the butt as she keeps writing. An exam monitor stands impatiently over Laurel. Laurel ignores her outstretched hand to take her paper to Peter herself.
So how you feel?
About the exam?
Yeah.
I think I nailed it.
Yeah, I thought so. I could tell by the way you finished it.
So how you doing?
Well, I'm a little better now that I see that you'll still talk to me.
Oh my God, why wouldn't I?
Come on, I was really kind of a mess the other night.
I thought it was really cool.
How old are you again?
That you came to see me. I've got this application for the Canada Council that I'd like you to sign.
So that's what this is, huh?
No. I like talking to you.
Well, I'm gonna have to see what it is you're submitting before I sign anything.
Oh, right. I didn't bring anything with me today, but why don't you drive me to my house and then we can pick it up?
Oh, there's one problem.
You didn't drive today?
No. Some other time, though. I'll take a look for sure.
Well, we could still do something.
You want to go for a drink?
Yeah.
At the bar.
So I can want that, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like I need the pros to take me higher.
I wanna take it higher.
But I get so caught up in my other classes that I can't truly break through with my own writing.
Well, don't worry about your other classes.
Well, I have to pass.
You can pass or show up.
Well, I'm taking math.
What are you doing that for?
I need a science requirement.
Well, take oceanography. It's like looking at maps. It's student daycare.
I can do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's so cool.
Glad you met me, huh?
I am. It's like I get a whole new education with you.
Laurel gets up from the table.
I'll be right back.
Peter watches her walk away. Then he gazes reflectively at the table. Later, in a lane behind the bar, hidden by a dumpster, Peter is on his knees with his pants down, humping Laurel doggy style. Pulling free, Laurel turns to face him. She removes his condom and discards it. Then she takes his penis in her mouth. Laurel pumps his penis with one hand as she clutches his butt with the other. Gathering her into his arms, Peter kisses her neck. Their lips meet.
No, sir, I did not. That
at the condo.
Sir, how can I be held responsible if Knobla...
I understand that. I'm
sitting on the edge of the bed, Noah breaks the connection on his cordless. He stands and returns it to its base on the bedside table.
Sapporo?
He steps over to the bathroom door.
Why is the door locked?
What?
Why is the door locked?
I'm busy.
Can you come out, please? I just want to talk to you for a second.
She comes out.
I gotta talk to you about what just happened.
Mm-hmm. What I heard.
You heard, huh? Well, I could use a little support. Fucker Knobloch went off. He started his own company. I'm taking the blame.
Well, good for him. That's what you want to do.
But he can't just steal our clients, Zippy.
Says who?
It's business law.
That's
business
what you
law.
Want to do.
Business law says he can't contact our clients for 1 year. Hmm. Okay, you listen to me. See, I'm out there. I work 5-6 days a week, 10 hours a day. You're in the bakery 1 day a week making sticky buns for minimum wage.
I make more than minimum wage.
I work, see? I work so you can have your horsies in your little music room. Don't, wait. No, no, because
hey!
I want to talk to you. I know,
listen
I want to talk
listen.
To you. You listen to me!
No, you shut up! What you're upset about, what you're fucking upset about, is your job. You say that to your boss, not me, okay? Let's just keep the call,
just,
huh?
No, Zippy,
what is it,
just
code
talk
six,
to me.
Huh?
You don't... Zippy, just talk to me.
She stares at him coldly. Soon after, Noah sits on the edge of the bed, dejected. Zipporah sits down beside him. She puts an arm around his shoulders and caresses his chin.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know what you want.
I
want
to be with you. I want to be with you.
She kisses his cheek, and Noah's head slumps forward. Later, Zipporah stands at the stove, cooking.
Hey.
Noah steps up behind her.
Okay. Oh, watch. It's hot. Mm. Mm.
She drains the lasagna noodles in the sink. While Noah stirs the sauce, Zipporah removes her apron and her shirt to reveal a skimpy, backless top.
Whoa, what are you wearing there?
What?
That.
This? It's from Texas.
Surrey, Texas? My friends are coming over. You're wearing buckskin? Hey, they're not rodeo people. Please don't wear that.
Where would I want?
Zipporah sets the table.
What about the blue thing?
Blue top?
Yeah.
It's in the wash.
Well, then wear that dress. You got that nice little dress.
She glares at him.
Don't get that. Okay, no, wait a minute. Don't.
Zipporah answers the door.
Hi.
Hello. I'm so good. How are you? Nice.
Well, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Leslie and Noah kiss.
Hey, how are you?
Zipporah kisses Peter's cheek.
So this is our place.
Good.
Yeah, it's very cozy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, man, this is really nice. You know, you really got to move fast to get a place like this, huh? You just got to pounce on it.
Careful.
You said you're never going to live here.
What did I just say?
Something about a drink.
You have Lynn Cody.
Really?
Yeah, Strange Heaven, great novel. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. This must be where you do your music.
Oh.
Peter picks up a framed photograph.
Oh, this is nice.
Put that down. Put that down.
That's sweet.
As Peter sips from his drink, Noah nods across the room.
Put it down.
Look at you.
Noah stares miserably at Peter. Later, Shane and Sarah have joined them for dinner.
It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Zipporah glares across the table at Noah.
There are a lot of horses here.
You figure?
Yeah, I like horses.
Horses. Come on, aren't you in all directions? What? It's a Patti Smith song, right?
Yeah, I know, but the mere mention of that word, and you always do that.
Sorry, Annie.
So, Sarah, what do you do again?
I told you what she does, Zipporah.
What?
I told you what she does.
It's okay. I'm an intern architect.
You just started that new job, didn't you?
A month ago.
And how do you like it?
I love it. It's amazing.
Isn't it hard to get a job as an architect these days?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky.
Because I haven't met a lot of architects who like working here. I mean, Shane.
No, I'm the exception to the rule. It's a great job. She deserves it. I'm happy for her.
Well, that's great. So what are you working on now?
Drawings for the Swiss Pavilion for Expo 2004.
Mm-hmm. The Swiss, they really like to get a head start on everything, make sure it's all shipshape.
Yeah, and when we had an expo here in 86, it was a zoo down there.
We're all from here, Zipporah.
It's still a zoo down there. Have you guys been down to the expo site lately? How many more high-rises can we stand?
It looks better than it did.
No, it doesn't. It's faceless.
Before, it was a wasteland.
No. Before, there was small industrial businesses, and then, of course, Expo comes along, and then the Socreds need a site, so they round up all the drunks, they appropriate the land, kick the drunks out, throw up a couple shoddy pavilions, have fireworks every night.
That's a simplified view.
You drive over the Canby Street Bridge these days, right, going north, you look to your left, and it looks like Kowloon.
You can't divide parts of the city like that. It's a city, a skyline. It has to be viewed and discussed as a whole.
Well, the whole is losing its zip. I mean, maybe it's a crazy idea. Why don't we save a couple of the old buildings for a change instead of tearing them all down?
You can't save every building.
Yes, but if a developer tears down a building, like a character building, it should be forced to build the exact same building with new materials.
That's crazy. You can't tell people what to build, what to design. I mean, as an architect, I'd feel stifled by the weight and tradition of Europe. I like the freedom that we have here.
That's an illusion.
This is a control city as it is. We don't need another regulatory board to look into anything. You know, we need to decrease the role of government, not increase it.
You know, this is shifting because I was just arguing with you, but now you've teamed up with my father. No, that's not fair. You know, that's two against one.
Well, her father's in there, too.
Shane.
Well, he is.
I'd love some coffee. Shall we break for some coffee? Who would like coffee? Zipporah, you want to rustle up some coffee, please?
No. If you want it, you get it.
Do you have something to add to the conversation, darling?
She glances at Noah's friends on either side of the table and stands up.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Zipporah walks away from the table. Noah looks down at his plate, embarrassed. Then he drops his fork and gets up from the table himself.
Get a glass of water.
Sarah gets up and heads for the kitchen.
Excuse me.
Shane follows her.
Zippy's strapped in pretty tight.
Well, Noah's acting like an asshole.
Yeah, it's his only hope.
He's still being an asshole.
Noah enters the bedroom.
All right, listen. Look, look, I'm losing a little bit. If you just come on out, everything will be fine. Zipporah, I'm a little tense. Just come on out. Just one little Janet Gretzky smile and we are out of this thing.
Zipporah stares at him. In the kitchen.
I want to go home.
It's fine. No, cool, huh?
Not worried about that.
Later, Noah walks along the hallway to the apartment, a gym bag slung over one shoulder, a towel over the other. He stops in front of the door. Inside, he puts down his gym bag and keys and carries a bag into the kitchen. Seated at the table with some Pepsi and chips, Zipporah ignores him as he gets a plate out of the cupboard and heads into the dining area. Putting the plate on the table, he sits down.
Have anything to say to me?
He dumps a whole rotisserie chicken onto his plate. Tearing a leg off the chicken, he begins to eat and shakes his head. Zipporah rips the leg from his hand and throws it on the floor.
Then you're not eating that here.
This is the dining room. This is where one traditionally eats dinner.
He tears the other leg from the carcass and begins to eat it. Zipporah mimics his chewing as she stares at him. Then she gets up, slides a magazine onto the floor, and walks away.
Your love is like a hurricane rolling through town.
Zipporah appears at his elbow.
Your love is like a hurricane.
She picks up the chicken and smears it across his face. Noah doesn't react as she slaps him. He just keeps chewing. Zipporah stalks down the hall to the bedroom. A drink in his hand, Shane walks through a party on a balcony that overlooks downtown Vancouver and the mountains beyond the city. He finds Sarah with three men.
So Mark, you have to let it go up and down.
NASDAQ has been stable since April.
This is Ken, Josh, Matthew. This is Shane. It's the guys that I work with.
But you can't. Biotechs. You've got to get out of
here. Take a look at the Nikon.
The genomes, the genomes. What is that?
It's garden gnomes?
You must invest in garden gnomes. No, I certainly don't. You listen. No, what is your investing? You seem to do pretty well.
My father.
Shane,
so
what do you do? I'm an architect.
You know, what is your dad? I wonder what your dad would say about genomes.
I think it's a good one. Yeah, the human genome is for the
Shane leads Sarah aside.
What's the matter?
You didn't tell them I was an architect?
No, I didn't.
Well, I thought it might have been something that would have come up. You've worked here for two fucking months.
Would you keep your voice down? I didn't want to tell them.
Why is that?
Because you hate architecture. You slam it every chance you get.
Bullshit. I hate this place. I slam this place every chance I get. You want to talk about Tatlin?
I can't right have now. This conversation with you right now.
Fine. Say goodbye to your boyfriend this morning.
Shane walks away, leaving Sarah taken aback.
Oh, good. Welcome. That's...
Recovering her smile, she rejoins the group. Later, Shane sits slumped on their couch. Hearing the door, he sits up. Sarah walks in, wringing her hands. She puts her purse on the kitchen counter and looks over at Shane.
Are you embarrassed to be with me?
Of course not.
Shane stands up and walks over to face her across the counter.
Do you think I'm a failure? Because architects flock to the city to stagnate, all right? I'm not alone.
I never said you were alone, but I need you to have some respect for where I work.
Most people aren't true architects. All they care about is money.
Well, I don't control the conversation. You know, and I go to gallery openings with you, and I don't always know what everybody's talking about, but I don't become a fucking asshole. You know, I fake it.
Well, I'd rather be an asshole.
Shane, I am new there. I'm just trying to fit in.
Oh, you fit in.
Why? Why are you so threatened by my job?
Why do you have to work there?
I love it. I am lucky to have this job.
You could get a job anywhere.
I don't want to work anywhere. So it's a big firm. So you don't agree with their politics. So what? You know, the world doesn't work exactly the way you want it to, Shane. It just doesn't. You know, maybe Safdie and Enriquez, architects like that, can pick and choose the projects they want to work on, baby, but you are not in that position.
Fuck you.
Sarah stands open-mouthed as Shane climbs the ladder to the sleeping loft. In Peter's university office.
So I'm reading over my council application and I'm totally screwed because I'm a student.
They'd never tell them you're a student.
No?
No. Can you just...
She gives him a hand job.
How's that?
Good.
But all my reference letters are going to be from Prox.
It doesn't matter. They expect you've had some kind of training.
So just send it
just
in?
Just send it in. Send it in.
Cool. Sunlight fills Peter's office where they both sit fully clothed.
I don't know. You know, I'm a little disappointed with a lot of the Canadian fiction I've been reading lately. Like, I just finished reading Timothy Finley's famous last words.
Queen?
And then I read The Diviners, which, I don't know, didn't do anything for me. But I don't know, I'm a little disappointed in the state of Canadian fiction, you know?
Is this a snapper clip that you have here?
Laurel reaches around to undo the clasp on her bra. She chews her gum as she pulls the bra out of the armhole of her t-shirt. Peter fondles her breast through her t-shirt.
And then I read Rolly Callahan.
Oh, God. Well, who's next? Ken Dryden?
Well, what am I supposed to read?
Well, Peter resumes fondling her breasts.
The Diviners is forgettable, but Stone Angel is good. And Chest of God is excellent. Alice Monroe is great. And Hartog is solid. But what you want stories about alcoholic, spinster virgins, good-natured pedophiles, repressed Christians who go psychotic. Oh, God.
Laurel tucks Peter's penis back into his pants.
So I have to run.
She picks up her grant application.
I'll see you in class.
Peter watches her leave. That night, at home, Peter leans over the bathroom sink.
Peter?
Yeah?
Can you bring me my mouth guard?
Sure.
Leslie is reading as Peter slips into bed beside her. He kisses her cheek, then slides down under the duvet. Leslie looks over at him. She removes his glasses.
You tired?
Yeah.
How was your day?
Fine.
What'd you do?
No.
What'd you do?
Is this going to turn into question period?
I was just asking.
Okay, well, here's what I did, all right? I went to school, I taught my classes, and then I came home, okay?
He turns his back to her.
Why are you being so hostile?
I'm not hostile, I'm frustrated.
Why? Did something happen today at the university?
No! Why would you ask me that?
Just asking.
I'm just tired, okay? Can we just get some sleep?
As Peter turns his back on her again, Leslie finds her place and tries to resume reading. She glances over at Peter, then back at her book.
Are you hiding something?
Jesus Christ, Leslie.
Well, are you?
Why don't you just put on some shiny black boots and start asking questions?
Well, what are you doing?
I'm going to get a glass of water.
Leslie picks Peter's pants off the floor and smells them. In the kitchen, he leans against the fridge. He pounds one of the shelves with his fist as he rests his forehead against the fridge. In the bedroom, Leslie finishes examining Peter's pants and drops them on the floor. She sits up in bed, thinking. Peter gets back in bed and leans his head against her shoulder, but she ignores him as she stares blankly across the room.
Leslie, I'm just wound up at work these days, okay? But everything with you and me is fine, all right? Everything is fine. Why don't we go to Harrison Hot Springs this weekend, huh? What do you say?
Peter kisses her neck. Then he rolls over to go to sleep, leaving Leslie staring unhappily into space. In the condo bedroom, Zipporah glances over at Noah.
Why so quiet?
Trying to sleep.
Putting aside her magazine, she slips down behind him.
Right now?
Zipporah caresses his thigh and nuzzles his ear.
Oh, for God's sake.
Hey.
Noah gets up.
What are you doing?
He walks out into the hall.
What are you doing? Huh? Hey.
Zipporah gets up.
Whoa. Hey, where are you going?
Gotta get some sleep, Zipporah.
It's 12:30.
I'm going to Peter's. I gotta get some sleep.
Okay. Just go sleep.
Returning to bed, Noah turns his back to Zipporah. Leaning back on her pillows, she scratches her head and glances resentfully at Noah. In the morning, Noah bends over the bed. Fully dressed, he checks to see if Zipporah is still asleep. Kneeling down, he reaches under the bed. He slides out a suitcase and opens the top. He opens a night table drawer, and Zipporah stirs in her sleep. As she rolls onto her back, Noah slips out of the room. Zipporah rolls onto her side and stretches one arm across the bed. She feels around for Noah, and her eyes open as she realizes she's alone. Springing out of bed, she hurries into the living room.
Hey.
Noah's in the kitchen, eating a bowl of cereal.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna go into the office for a while.
I'll come.
No, I gotta do some work, but I'll see you later.
Well, what time?
Not late, I'll see you later.
Okay.
Uneasy, Zipporah watches him walk to the door. Later, looking in the bedroom mirror, she puts on a black choker and adjusts her black bra under a robe. Then she applies lip gloss. She fluffs her shoulder-length hair. Later, wearing leather jeans and a top, she shifts anxiously as she looks out at the city from the balcony. She glances inside, looking for Noah. In the living room, she picks up the phone and dials. She breaks the connection and paces the living room nervously. She grabs their wedding picture off the TV set and glares at it. Then she slaps the photo irritably against her leg. Across town, Sarah wanders across the bare hardwood floor of her living room. Shane stands by his drawing board, contrite. He walks over to her and joins her at the table. She avoids his gaze as he takes her hand.
I've been thinking about what you said. About doing something else. And you're right.
Good. I think that's a good thing.
She looks him in the eye.
It's too late.
Shane is stunned.
I'm sorry.
She pulls her hand free of his. Shane rests his chin on his clasped hands and gazes miserably across the table at Sarah. At Peter's, he and Leslie are having soup and white wine for lunch. Setting down his spoon, Peter picks up a piece of toast and bites into it. He looks across the table at Leslie, sadly.
What are you eating like that for?
Like what?
Leslie stares back at him.
Are you having an affair?
No, I'm not.
He returns to his soup. Leslie wipes her mouth and puts down her napkin. Then she looks gravely across the table at Peter. Peter shrugs expectantly. He stares over his wine glass, avoiding her eyes. He glances at Leslie and shakes his head. Then he drops his spoon and leans back in his chair, avoiding Leslie's gaze. Later, from behind the wheel of their Volvo, Leslie stares across at him.
Will you quit looking at me like that?
I will if you tell me what's bothering you.
Nothing's bothering me.
Are you still having problems with the university?
No.
Is it a health issue?
Christ, Leslie, you sound like my mother.
Is it?
No.
The traffic stops.
Is it a woman? Is it a woman?
She starts up again.
Is it a woman?
Yes, it's a woman. Is that what you want to hear? It is.
Leslie switches on her signal light and turns a corner.
I'm sorry, Leslie. I'm sorry, but it was meaningless.
She glances over at him as she pulls to the curb.
Get out of the car.
Leslie, it was this inconsequential, a meaningless, ridiculous thing that happened. I mean, that's all it was. That's all it was. Leslie, are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
Get out of the car.
Leslie, what else can I say to you? As a student, it was this ridiculous, meaningless, inconsequential, completely nonsensical thing that happened, and it's over, and it doesn't mean it. Leslie.
Her fingers grip his throat.
Leslie.
She lets go.
Get out of the car.
Leslie, don't do this. Don't do this.
Get out of the car.
All right, all right.
She shoves him out.
Fine.
Noah enters the condo cautiously. He looks along the hall and around the living room.
Zipporah?
He walks into the bedroom, kneels beside the bed, and reaches underneath for his suitcase. Zipporah appears around the corner.
Looking for this?
Noah runs. Dropping his suitcase, Zipporah chases after him and tackles him in the hall. Regaining his feet, he dashes to the door, but she grabs him by the hair. He shoves her away and races out of the apartment with Zipporah in pursuit. They run from the building out into the street. Noah dashes to his Land Rover.
Get out! Get out!
She tries to drag him out of the vehicle, but he gets the engine started as they wrestle. The Land Rover rolls back and forth as she yanks at his hair and jacket.
Gonna get hurt, Zipporah!
Come on, hurt me, you thing!
He straight arms her and she falls to the pavement. Zipporah gets to her feet and picks up a rock.
Get out of the car!
She hurls the rock through Noah's rear side window. As he pulls away, she sprints after him. A few minutes later, Noah has pulled to the curb in front of an Italian grocery store. He leans against the headrest. His eyes pop open at the distinctive sound of a Volkswagen Beetle engine. Noah watches in his side view mirror as Zipporah pulls alongside in her Beetle, then parks in front of him. As she gets out, he drives away. Zipporah gets back in her Beetle. Noah turns a sharp corner, and the Beetle sticks with him.
Come on! Get the car!
Noah turns another corner with Zipporah on his tail. Noah suddenly pulls over, and she pulls in behind him. She gets out and walks up to Noah's car.
Listen
to me.
He pulls away, leaving her standing in the street. Later. Zipporah peers through the glass around the door into the foyer of Peter's house as Leslie responds to the knocking. The safety chain catches the forced door.
Noah!
Leslie unlatches the safety chain.
I want to talk to Noah.
He's not here.
Just let me talk to him. Can you just tell him I'm here?
He's not here.
Leaving Zipporah standing on the front step, Leslie closes the door and relatches the safety chain, the strain of her own crisis etched on her face. Later, the Beetle turns into the driveway of a motel and past the roses in the flower beds. Zipporah stops in the central courtyard. Spying Noah's car, she pulls up behind it, blocking it in. Getting out of the Beetle, she pauses to look at Noah's broken window. She walks to the door of his motel room.
Noah! Open up!
Inside, Noah hides behind the curtains.
I just want to talk, all right?
Zipporah steps away from the door and over to a window. The curtain blocks her view, so she puts her ear to the glass. She steps back to the door.
I heard that, you fucking weasel. Open the fucking door! Open the fucking door!
She returns to the window, but the curtains are still closed. As Zipporah looks back across the parking lot, Noah stands behind the door, hands raised as if at gunpoint. As he peeks out through the peephole, Zipporah strides past Noah's car. Opening the Beetle's trunk, she leans inside and rummages around. She pulls out her jack. Tossing the jack handle back in, she drops the lid. She hefts the jack in her hand as she walks back to Noah's door. Noah sees her coming and retreats from the window. Trying to hide in the closet, he pokes one eye on a coat hanger and tumbles to the floor. Zipporah's second blow shatters the glass. She drops the jack and sweeps the curtain open. She finds Noah cowering behind the bed on his knees, one eye watching her fearfully. She stares at him angrily. Noah remains on his knees, frightened and humiliated, avoiding her eyes. Later, Noah sits in the hot tub on the island, looking out across the Georgia Strait. He turns to glance at his companions in the tub, grim and shell-shocked. Shane and Peter are also somber and weary. The three friends avoid looking at each other. This described version of Last Wedding was created by AudioVision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by Betty Morgenstern, and produced by Valerie Hunter. Cast: Noah, Benjamin Ratner. Zipporah, Frida Bertrani. Peter, Tom Schult. Leslie, Nancy Sivak. Shane, Vincent Gale. Sarah, Molly Parker. Laurel, Maria Delver. Bobby, Babs Chula. Karen, Kathleen Duborg. Noah's father, Jay Brazo. Rabbi, Kevin McNulty. Sam Feldman, Sam Feldman. Record company assistant, Jillian Fargy. Record company receptionist, Simone Bailey. Marriage commissioner, Wendy Knoll. Bridal shop owner, Jennifer Clement. Ken, Brendan Beiser. Josh, David Lovegren. Matthew, Jason Gray Stanford. Student number one, Rebecca Harker. Young bride, Alana Emery. Grocery cashier, Watermelon. Produced with the participation of the Canadian Television Fund, created by the Government of Canada and the Canadian cable industry, Telefilm Canada Equity Investment Program, CTF License Fee Program. Produced with the participation of TMN, Super Écran, the Movie Network. Produced in association with Chum Television and with the assistance of the Canadian Audiovisual Certification Office and the Canadian Film Production Tax Credit. Developed with assistance from BC Film. Music: Canción de la Paloma, written by Coco Lavalcorn, Neil Osborne, Matt Johnson, Brad Merritt, and Phil Comparelli, performed by Paloma. If I Had a Reason, written by Coco Lavalcorn, Neil Osborne, Matt Johnson, Brad Merritt, and Phil Comparelli, performed by Paloma. Desperately, written and performed by Shirley Eichhardt. Romance, Opus 28, No. 2, written by Robert Schumann, public domain, performed by Jane Coop, courtesy of CBC Records. Intermezzo, Opus 117, No. 1, written by Johannes Brahms, public domain, performed by Jane Coop, courtesy of CBC Records. Steppin' on Lemons, composed by Corey Weeds, performed by Crash. Hot Nuts, written by Mike Kearney, performed by Crash. Sub Reminisce, Filtering Blue, performed by Circle Square, written and produced by March 21st and 34. Sumo, written by Aaron Best, performed by Rasa. Ohio, written by Hamish Thompson, performed by The Hermit. Driving in Solitude, written by Hamish Thompson, performed by The Hermit. One Stop Love Shop, written and performed by Maria Delver. Just a Pretender, written and performed by Mark Vescovi. Anything's Possible, written and produced by Al Roger. Filmed on location in Vancouver and Pender Harbor, British Columbia. Cut on film. No soundtrack will be coming out. Copyright Last Wedding Productions Incorporated, 2001.